Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
It's difficult for me to imagine the kind of pain and anguish David was going through when the events that Brother David just read to us was taking place. As you think about David and how he had to flee from the city of Jerusalem because of his son Absalom, who was going to take the kingdom away from David. David's life was in danger from his own son. And yet, when Absalom died and the message came to David, David's question was, is the young man safe? Is he safe? A parent never loses the love for their children. Even though their children may do some awful things, parents look at their children and want them to be safe. As we think about that, I'd like for this morning for us to talk about safety for just a few minutes. And I want to make some applications with regards to it. See, safety is a matter of concern for parents. Today, how many of you who have young children, having understood what has happened to so many young people and the head injuries, will say, be sure to put your helmet on? I can remember riding a motorcycle when I was a teenager, and my mother would say, be sure you've got your helmet on. And then as you give them the keys to the car and you say, you can now drive, what do you say? Drive safe. Watch out for the other guy. Make sure that you put your signals on. All kinds of things to try to ensure their safety. Think about safety in business. People have to be careful that those who come to shop in their location are not hurt while they're there. Even those who have employees have to make sure that they are safe. My first job out of college, first day, the vice president of the bank came in and said, your job is to deal with OSHA. And I said, what is that? He said, this folder, you've got to make sure it gets filed about every month. That was the first job that I was assigned. Never did anything. But you had to make sure that everything was safe so that the people shopped there and the people who worked there were taken care of. Think about safety for yourself. Think about the fact that many of us make sure that there are things that we do to ensure our own personal safety. And then bringing that in is our food supply. Am I going to make sure that the food that I eat, is it safe? I watched a program this last week on food, seafood that is brought into our country and how many toxic chemicals are a part of it, and the concern for safety. And you say, what's all of this about? We all want safety for us, our children, our family. And sometimes we have to seek for a place of safety, a place of shelter, if you will. And so what I would like for us to do this morning is to look at, through the Bible, some places of safety, and then to make application to the need for spiritual safety for us today. And so we're going to talk about the ark. We're going to talk about the house with the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, the house of Rahab, the cities of refuge, and then finally our place of safety, which is the house of God or the church. Let's begin with the ark. I want you to open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 6. I'll be putting the scriptures on the screen, but if you're like me, I like to read a little bit before and a little bit after to try to be able to see if I see the big picture, because we're not going to be able to present every verse. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, reading through verse 7, we are told the conditions of society. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. God said, I am going to destroy. That is that God now has an intent. He has a plan in mind to bring about the end of civilization. And yet, as I keep reading now, verses 8 and 9, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. There's a man that deserves to be saved. There's a man whom God looks at and says, he's one that I want to provide some protection for. And so as we keep reading Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14, here's what God tells Noah. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And there's other regulations and other rules given there as to the way that it was to be constructed, the dimensions of it, the number of floors for it. But I want to emphasize that first part, make yourself an ark. God gave him some rules, some instructions, some guidance for safety. And so as we continue on, the writer of the book of Hebrews talks about this in chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Noah prepared an ark. Why did he prepare an ark? Because there had to be a place of safety. Now, I want you to think with me for just a moment. We're told from Hebrews chapter 11, these were things that were not yet seen. The people in those days did not know all of the things that could happen to them. They had never seen a worldwide flood. And it's perhaps even possible they've not even seen rain, at least to this degree. And so what is being said is, if you want to be safe, get in the ark. If you do not get in the ark, you won't be safe. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And the Bible clearly tells us that there was just 8 souls saved. Only one place safe. Did not matter how sincere you were. Did not matter whether you believed other people or not. Either you were on the ark or you were not in the ark. If you were in the ark, you were safe. If you were out of the ark, you were doomed. Now, I want you to think with me as we go a little bit further through the Bible to an event that occurs in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. If you'll remember, God had brought, previous to this time, 9 plagues on the Egyptians. This is now going to be the 10th plague, and this plague will be different. This plague will bring about something that will ultimately cause Pharaoh to let God's people go. In this event, there are some details, there are some specifics, if you will, with regards to this 10th plague. I want you to listen to me as we read verse 5. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to his father, house of his father, a lamb for his household. Notice the date. First month, 10th day of the month. As I go on and read in verse 5, he says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or the goats. Notice also now the sacrifice and the lamb to be eaten was, first of all, to be a male. Second of all, it was to be in its first year. It couldn't be 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old. It had to be in that first year. It had to be without blemish. It could not have any physical defect on it whatsoever. And it could be taken either from the sheep or the goats. Now, so we read in verses 6 and 7. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintels of their houses where they shall eat it. Now notice further some of the details. They were to take it on the 10th, but on the 14th day at twilight. That is, just as it starts to turn dark in the evening, they're to take it, they're to take the blood, they're supposed to put it on the two doorposts, the two sides of the door, and the lintel that goes across the top, and they are to eat it there that night. Now, there are other rules and regulations, but those are the basic ones. So I drop down to verses 12 and 13. We have it explained. God says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Notice God says, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over. And there's one additional detail given in verse 22. And that is, you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's on the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. Now, listen carefully. And none of you shall go out the door of his house until the morning. Now, as I put all of that together, where is the place of safety? There's only one place that's going to be safe. It's going to be in a house of your family where there is a lamb that is a year old or less, that has the blood on the doorpost and on the lintels, and you yourself are in that house. Now, do you see that that's a place of safety? What happens if I leave that house before the morning comes? What happens if about 3 o'clock in the morning I decide I want to go out to the river or I want to go out to the pastures? Safety will not be there anymore. You see, God's place of safety was designated. So let me carry to a third illustration. This is found in the book of Hebrews, as we mentioned there. Where actually, it's going to be found in the book of Joshua, but I want to refer you to a couple of passages, one in Hebrews, one in James. Hebrews 11 and verse 31, we read, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who did not believe, when she received the spies with peace. Why did she do what she did? Because she believed in the God of the children of Israel. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 25, James writes, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Here's what happened. The spies came to Jericho to spy out the city. They came to the house of Rahab the harlot. She hid them, and she allowed them to climb out the window, which evidently was on the wall of the city, and to escape. She even gave them directions of how to avoid capture. All of this because she believed in God. But she had a request. And it's found in Joshua chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. And here's what her request was. She says, "Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mothers, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell about this business of ours, and it will be when the Lord has given of the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you." They said, "We will give our life for yours if anything bad happens to you, but you've got to make sure that you keep up your side of the bargain, and that is you don't tell any of this business." Now, verses 17 through 19 offer some additional information. So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours which you have made us swear, unless we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household into your own home. And so it shall be that whosoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, and we shall be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid upon him." Where was the place of safety? When the city of Jericho was destroyed, there was only one safe place. That was in Rahab's house. And Rahab had to put the scarlet cord that they had given her, that true token, in the window, hanging out the window where she had let the spies down. Had she not put the scarlet cord out, had the family not gone into her house, there would have been no safety whatsoever. Now for the fourth illustration. This time, if you'll turn with me to the book of Numbers, to chapter 35, we'll look at verse 15. Numbers 35, verse 15. Here's what God tells the children of Israel through Moses. "These six cities shall be for refuge of the children of Israel, for the stranger, for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there." You see, God made provision for the fact that if persons were killed accidentally, that the person who had killed them could have a place of refuge, a place to where they could go. Let's say, for instance, you're chopping down a tree and the head of your axe, when you come up, comes off of the axe handle and it hits your friend in the head and kills him. You actually took his life, but that was an accident. You didn't intend to do that. Someone says, "Well, just everybody will flee there." No. In verse 12, he says, "These cities of refuge for you from the avenger, and that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment." You see, there will be a determination made when he arrived at the city of refuge. Are you a manslayer? That is, you didn't intend to do this. Or are you a murderer? And there will be a determination made. Now, if I go to verse 24... "Then the congregation judged between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments." There were several rules and regulations given there. Now, the requirement for the person who had killed someone is found in verses 26 through 28. "But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood." You see the picture? There was a place of safety inside the city of refuge. If I left the city, my blood is on my own head. That person can kill me and do so without guilt. You see, there was a place of safety. Now, if I start putting these together and I look at the ark, And I look at the house with the blood on it, and I look at Rahab's house, and I look at the cities of refuge, and these are not the only examples, but those are four. I say that God is often designated, there's a place where you can be safe, and there are other places where you're not safe. Now, spiritually speaking, do I want to be in a safe place or not? Well, let me point out to you that the house of God is the church of God, which is the body of Christ. I want to just take three passages real quickly. In 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." The house. Think of a house. Think of a home. A family. The house of God is the church of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, "And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body." The house of God is the church of God. The church of God is the body of Christ. As I go further, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I'm trying to lead you, if you will, through a tying together of things here. The house of God, that's where safety is found. Well, what is the house? The house is the church. Well, then if the church is the body, then to be in Christ is to be in the body, is to be in the church, is to be in the house of God. But I want to know how I get in. You know, as I look on the ark, how did Noah and his family get on the ark? It's doing what God told them to do. How did a person get into the house where the blood was? It's because they were part of that family. How does a person get to the house of Rahab? It was because they were her family and there was a designated place. How do I get to the into the city of refuge? I have to go through a process of determining whether or not I am righteous. And I want to know how to get into Christ. And Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither bond or male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." I understand now. I'm baptized into Him. That's where safety is at. And there's safety nowhere else. Acts 4 and verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." I can't find safety in Muhammad. I cannot find safety in Judaism. I cannot find safety in any other religion. It's exclusive. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me." That's it. In Romans 8 and verse 1, Paul would put it like this, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. You want to know where safety is at? Safety today, spiritually, is being in the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ, which is the house of God. David asked the question about Absalom. Is the young man safe? If God were to ask today, out of His love and concern for you, are you safe? In order to be safe, men have always had to do something. I know the world today doesn't want to look at the idea, well, I've got a responsibility. But you remember going back to Genesis chapter 6, God said to Noah, make yourself an ark. The blood had to be placed on the lintels, or the lintel and the doorpost. The scarlet cord had to be let down and had to be in the house of Rahab. They had to flee to the city of refuge. You've got to do something. You've got to obey what the Lord has told you to do. And that involves faith, repentance, confession, and being baptized. But in order to remain safe, whether it was on the ark, whether it was in the houses of the blood and of Rahab, or the cities of refuge, a person had to stay there. Had a person decided, I'm going to leave, there would have been no safety. In order for you to be safe this morning, you have not only got to be in Christ, a Christian, but you've got to stay there and remain faithful to Him. And so we end the lesson with a question of where you ought to be.